Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 35, chapter entitled The Gopi Singer Krishna, text number 16 and 17. Nija, Adabja, Dalair, Dwaja, Vajra, Nirajankusha, Vichitra, Lalamai, Brajabhuva, Shamayam, Kura, Todam, Varshma, Durya, Gatir, Idita, Venu, Nija Padabja, Dalair Dwaja Vajra,
Nija
Padabja, Dalair Dwaja Vajra,
Nija Padabja,
Rajan Kusha Vichitra Lalamai, Nirajan Kusha Vichitra Lalamai, Rajabhuva Shamayan Kura Todam, Rajabhuva Shamayan Kura Todam, Varshma Durya Gatir Idita Venu, Varshma Durya Gatir Idita Venu, Nija Padabja Dalair Dwaja Vajra, Nirajan Kusha Vichitra Lalamai, Rajabhuva Shamayan Kura Todam, Varshma Dura Gatir Idita Venu,
His own.
Padaabja, of the lotus feet, and Dalai, like flower petals, Dwaja, of a flag, Vajra, thunderbolt, Niraja, lotus, Ankusha, and elephant goad, Vichitra, variegated, Lalamai, by the markings, Raja, of Braj, Bhuva, of the ground, Shamayam, relieving, Kura, from the hooves of the cows, Todam, the pain, Varshma, with his body, Durya, like an elephant, and Gati, whose movement, Idita, extolled, Venu, whose flute. Translation of Prabhupada by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. As Krishna strolls through Braj with his lotus petal-like feet, marking the ground with the distinctive emblems of a flag, thunderbolt, lotus, an elephant goad, he relieves the distress the ground feels from the cow's hooves. As he plays his renowned flute, his body moves with the grace of an elephant. Thus we gopis, who become agitated by Cupid when Krishna playfully glances at us, stand as still as trees, unaware that our hair and garments are slackening. Translation responsibly. As Krishna strolls through Braj, with his lotus petal-like feet, marking the ground with the distinctive emblems. A flag. Thunderbolt. Lotus. An elephant goad.
He releases the distress.
The ground feels from the cow's hooves. As he plays his renowned flute, his body moves with the grace of an elephant.
Thus we gopis,
who become agitated by Cupid,
when Krishna playfully glances at us,
stand as still as trees,
unaware
that our hair and garments
are slackening.
Purport. Here Mother Yashoda is no longer in the company of the gopis, who are confidentially describing their conjugal attraction to Sri Krishna. It is clear from the comments of Sri Jiva Goswami and other acharyas that the statements in this chapter were made at various times and places. This is natural, since the gopis were always absorbed in thoughts of Sri Krishna day and night. Om Gyan Timanandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namunamaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Ram Ram Rama Hare Hare. So we've been studying in the Bhakti Vai Bhav course and the Srimad Bhagavatam course. We've just gotten to the 9th chapter of the second canto. And in the 9th chapter of the second canto, in verses 33 to 36, is what is called the Chatur Shloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Chatur Shloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the four original verses which were spoken by Krishna himself directly to Lord Brahma at the beginning of the creation. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, or these four verses, which were originally spoken by Krishna to Brahma, they were then repeated by Brahma to Narada, his disciple and son. And then Narada then elaborated upon them, and he expanded them into the 18,000 verses that we now have, which we call the Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. So these original verses, these four original verses, cover three principal subject matters, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the entire Vedas are divided into. What are the three subject matters in which the entire Vedic literatures can be divided into? Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Yeah. So the Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literatures, but the Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedas. It is the ripened fruit of the Vedic literatures. It is the cream of the Vedas. Right? So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these three subject matters are discussed at length, like that. There's many verses about Sambandha, especially in the earlier parts of the Bhagavatam. Sambandha means the difference between matter and spirit, and the jiva's eternal relationship with God, and the relationship between the Lord's energy, the internal energy and the external energy, with the jivas and with Krishna. Right, that is Sambandha, the relationship of everything in Krishna's creation. So that is discussed. There's many, many verses that discuss that. And then there is the Abhideya. Abhideya means the process of how to awaken one's dormant Krishna consciousness. For example, in the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasham Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. This is Abhideya. This is the process of how to reawaken our lost Krishna consciousness.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in 1865, one of the main verses of the Gita, he says, Mammana Bhavama Bhakto, Madhya Ji Mam Namaskaru. So he says four things, right? Mammana, always think of me. Bhavama Bhakto, become my devotee. Mamyaji, offer your worship to me. Mam Namaskaru, and then offer your obeisances to me. Those four items, which are spoken of by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, then they are expanded into the nine items which Prahlad Maharaj speaks, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and so forth. And then Rupa Goswami has further elaborated them or expanded them into the 64 angas of bhakti, which we see within the Nectar of Devotion. 64 ways that we can please Krishna, serve Krishna, right? So, this is the Abhideya. This is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam at length, right? And now there is the what is called the Prayojana. What does Prayojana mean?
Application.
What's that?
Application.
Application. Yeah.
Use
the goal. The goal. Yep. It's also sometimes said to be the essence. Like that. Prayojana means the essential, the essence, right? Or the goal. Like that, what we are aiming for, you know, what we are trying to achieve, what is the ultimate goal for our Krishna consciousness, and that is called the Prayojana. So, what is the Prayojana? What is the goal?
Krishna Prema.
Yeah, it is Prema, it is love for Krishna, that is the goal, right? Even more so than Krishna being the goal, it is love for Krishna which is the goal. Because if one attains love for Krishna, one will attain Krishna. You cannot attain Krishna without loving him purely. So therefore, prema is the goal, because prema conquers Krishna. Rupa Goswami describes in the Nectar of Devotion that there is sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and then prema bhakti, like the three categories of, or three gradations of bhakti as it elevates. And each quality, each level of bhakti has two symptoms. Sadhana bhakti has two symptoms, bhava bhakti has two symptoms, and then finally prema bhakti has two symptoms. And then one of the two symptoms of prema is Sri Krishna Karshani. Sri Krishna Karshani means it conquers Krishna himself. That is the power of prema, or love for Krishna. It actually conquers Krishna. And we see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. All through the Srimad Bhagavatam, prayojana, or prema, or love for Krishna, as being the element which conquers Krishna, this is described all through the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where do we see Krishna for the first time? As Parthasarathi, yeah. What do we see him doing? The first time we see him in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. He's protecting Parikshit Maharaj from Ashwatthama, like that. Even prior to that, we see him protecting Arjuna from Ashwatthama, like that. So we see Krishna becoming the servant of his devotee. And this is mentioned by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in the Madhurya Kanambini, that out of all of Krishna's wonderful qualities, Krishna has unlimited wonderful qualities, but out of all of his qualities, the most endearing quality of Krishna is what? His feature is Bhakta Vatsala. Right? Bhakta Vatsala means the protector of his devotees. Right? That is the most overwhelming quality of Krishna. Right? That is his most endearing quality. That is his most wonderful quality. That he protects his devotees. So, this mood of Bhakta Vatsala, Krishna becomes, or fully manifest this mood of Bhakta Vatsala when the devotee fully manifests this mood of prema. When the devotee is completely sold out to Krishna, completely devoted to Krishna with love, then Krishna is conquered by that love, and then he becomes Bhakta Vatsala to the full extent. It means he fully reciprocates with his devotee, fully protects his devotee. Right? So this is the nature of Krishna's reciprocation with his devotee. Therefore, in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yeyata mam prapajante, tams tataiva bhajam yaham. As you surrender to me, I will reward you accordingly. Right? Now, someone can say, well, why doesn't it work the other way around? Why doesn't Krishna first surrender to us and then we'll reciprocate? Or why doesn't Krishna first give us prema? Right? Because Krishna can do it. Right? Krishna can just, everyone, prema, like that. And everyone's back in the spiritual world. Krishna can do it because there's no limitations to Krishna's potency. So if Krishna wants to take all of us back to the Godhead right now, he can do it. Like that. The whole material universes, you know, hundreds of millions of universes can be emptied within a moment just by Krishna's desire. Right? And everyone can be fully manifest back in their original position in the spiritual world. But Krishna doesn't want to do it like that. He doesn't want to do it that I will first give you prema, and then when you have prema, then you surrender to me. No. Krishna's condition in devotional service is, as you surrender to me, I will reciprocate accordingly. Right? That is the because that will mean that the prema is coming from us. It is not being forced or not being manipulated by Krishna, but rather it is coming voluntarily from our own hearts that we want to surrender to Krishna. And when we want to surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate with us according to the surrender that we give him. So the surrender must come from the devotees. And when the surrender comes from the devotees, then Krishna reciprocates unlimitedly. And we see that the longer you stay a devotee, right, anyone who's been a devotee for, you know, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, you know, like that, then the longer you stay a devotee, right, the more you realize that Krishna expects more from you. Right? You have to give more. Right? We didn't know what we're getting into when we first walked into this place. You know, I thought it was very different to what it was going to be. Right? When I first walked in here, I thought it was going to be something else. But it's not. If you want to stay a devotee, you have to continuously challenge yourself and you have to continuously improve yourself. Right? Because Krishna is going to test you more and more as time... It doesn't get easier as time goes by. Don't think that. Of course, in the beginning, we tell everyone it's just nectar and, you know, just come and join and, you know, you'll float in an ocean of nectar, which is true. Which is true. Right? That's all there is actually here. There's only an ocean of nectar here. There's nothing else. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. You know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda are physically standing right there. Right? Right before our eyes. Right? The Lords themselves, the original personality of Godhead, are standing right there. And they are the source of all nectar. Right? Their Sankirtan movement is the source of all nectar. That is Mayapur Dham right there on that altar. That's Vrindavan Dham right there on that altar. That's Jagannath Puri Dham right there on that altar. Right? So the spiritual world is there. It is Anandam Buddhi Varadharam. There's unlimited bliss. But because we have anattas within the heart, it will take time. And as we gradually clear those anattas, then gradually we will feel more and more of that bliss. Like that. And then as time goes by, as a devotee, you realize the more you clear the anattas, the more anattas are there. And then the more you clear those anattas, you realize that behind them are bigger anattas. And then when you clear the really big ones, right, then you realize now you're coming to the core of the problem, right, which is the false ego. Just like, as Burajan Prabhu said, the rock hard, cement like false ego, which you have to crack. Right? And it doesn't matter how much you beat it, chisel away and chisel away, it's like it just doesn't crack. You know, you're just smashing your false ego. Krishna's smashing it and you're smashing it and all the devotees are smashing it. And, you know, everyone's smashing. Yeah, come in. Give me a hit. You know? International Society for Smashing My False Ego. Okay. So we all, you know, it all gets smashed. But still, even though we get smashed to pieces, we wake up the next morning and it's rock hard again, right? We wake up very stiff and rock hard, right? No one's going to smash my false ego today, right? And we go around sometimes with the thin veneer of humility, you know, walking around like, you know, Hare Krishna, like that. But as soon as someone just steps on our toes a little bit, then immediately, right? Rock hard false ego comes back, like that. So it is very hard to destroy at the actual root of the problem, right? But the process of devotional service is to destroy that problem. That is the point of practicing devotional service, sadhana bhakti. And Krishna says, the more you endeavor, right, then the more I'll reciprocate. And Krishna sees the endeavor, right? And he sees that we are trying. And the only thing we have to do is, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, everyone else in this movement can leave if they want. That's their choice. But one person should stay, right? That is you, right? Each devotee must have that kind of commitment to Krishna consciousness. Everyone else can leave, that's fine. It's not fine, but if everyone else leaves, then that's their choice. But I will stay, right? And I'll just keep going through it and through it and through it. Doesn't matter how intense it is. And Krishna reciprocates with that kind of devotee, right? And Krishna will purify the heart of that kind of devotee. Krishna will do the work. Actually, Prabhupada explains that in the second chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says it is Krishna who purifies the heart of the devotee when he sees the devotee trying hard. Because there's some things that we can't overcome by ourselves. It's not possible because we just don't have the necessary determination. But Krishna says you're trying, then he will carry the rest. Like that. So this is the mood of Krishna. For us to develop prema for Krishna, then yeyata mam prapajante tamstataiva vajamyaham. Right? As you surrender to Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate accordingly. Right? So this is the goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam as being described here. This is the prayojana, right? To develop a love for Krishna. And we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the reason that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prefers or favours Srimad Bhagavatam over any other Vedic literature is because it deals more with prema. And it deals essentially with prema more than any other literature. Right? There are more examples of perfect prema or perfect love for Krishna, right? Pure devotees within Srimad Bhagavatam than any other literature. We see all the way through the Srimad Bhagavatam, just like in the very beginning, right? You see Narada comes immediately, Vyasa is there, Sukadeva is speaking from the very beginning, Suta Goswami is speaking from the very beginning, Maharaj Pariksit comes very early, the Pandavas come very early. Pure devotees of Krishna. Right? And by their example, all the way through the different cantos, Prahlad Maharaj, and then finally coming to the 10th canto, in the 10th canto we see the residents of Vrindavan. And this is the most perfect display of prema or love for Krishna. And then of all the devotees of Vrindavan, and all the devotees in existence, then we see the gopis of Vrindavan, who we're seeing here. Right? And their love for Krishna, right, which is the most purest prema, right, is the highest prema that there is. It's the most intense prema that there is, right? Far more intense. Just like we've been studying these chapters, which specifically deal with the conjugal rasa or Krishna's relationship with the gopis. And when Burujan Prabhu was here and he was speaking on these verses, and Krishna was, he disappeared from all the gopis. And then the gopi said to Krishna, why did you disappear from us? Why did you go away from us? And then Krishna explained to them, because I wanted to show that you were pure devotees. I wanted to show the exaltation of your love, how strong your love is for me. Right? And then the gopi said to Krishna, don't compare us to ordinary pure devotees. Right? Don't make comparisons to us and the ordinary pure devotees. Okay, ordinary pure devotees you can do this with, right? But we're different, right? Our love for you is something else, right? It is the most intense love, right? So don't treat us ordinarily, right? So then Krishna said, actually the reason I've done it is because the first reason is that I wanted to hear your lamentation and separation from me. I wanted to hear that and feel how much separation you're feeling for me and how much love you had for me. I wanted to experience that myself. And then secondly, I wanted to show all the other pure devotees, right, your love, right, as being the highest love. So I wanted to glorify you, simply. I wanted you to become glorious in the eyes of all the other pure devotees. So I was doing this as a service to you. So please forgive me for doing like that. So we see that they are the highest emblem of pure devotional service to Krishna. But, as Burujan Prabhu was also pointing out, one time he said he went to visit, I think he said Puri Maharaj. Yeah, he did. He said Puri Maharaj, who is still alive,
I think there's two Puri Maharajas. I think he's speaking about the one who's still alive, Prabhupada's godbrother. And he went to visit him. And Puri Maharaj said, "You Western devotees are always interested in understanding these high subject matters." Right? That's the nature of Westerners, right? And especially, forgive me for saying this, but Americans. Right? That's the nature of the Western civilization. Like, we are the best. We are the conquerors. Especially in America, it seems that Bob is very, very prevalent. Right? Here I am, and here we are, and it's all going to be, you know, when we're going to take over, and that's the way it is. And Hare Krishna. Like that. So that's just kind of the Western kind of mentality we have. So when we see Krishna and the gopis, and we see, oh, that's the highest thing, we just think, yes, we'll just go straight to there. It's like the American army. Right? Yeah, we'll just go to Iraq and we'll just take it over. Right? So we just get our, you know, 4,000 tanks and we'll just roll in. Right? And that's it. Now we control the country. Right? What are you going to do about it? Like that. So then, that's kind of the mentality we have towards Krishna and the gopis sometimes. Or Krishna. You know, we think, oh, there's Krishna and the gopis. That's the highest thing. And we'll just get there. Just, you know, tank on in. And then we'll just jump out. We'll say, you know, put the flag down. Say, okay, Krishna, here we are. Srimati Radharani, here I am, what service do you have for me? And they're just looking at you like, yeah, what are you? You know, what sort of creature is this? Right? So the point is, you're not even going to get close. You're not even going to get close, right? The tanks can go through Iraqi's fences, but they can't go into the spiritual world. You can't penetrate the coverings of the material universe, right? Because the material universe, there is coverings, and each covering is 10 times bigger, right? And all the coverings put together, right, which are huge. We worked it out when we were doing the Bhakti by Bhav class. We worked out that if the universe itself that we're in now is 1 centimeter wide, right, it's something like 311 trillion miles wide or something. But if it was actually 1 centimeter wide, then the coverings would go from here to Sydney. Seriously, like that's the universe. Then from here to Sydney, that's the coverings. That's how big it is.
That's the difference between 1 universe.
That's just, it says around each universe there's covering. Like around the universe and there's a covering Earth, which is 10 centimeters wide because it's 10 times bigger, right? And then the water is 10 times bigger, so that's 1 meter, right? And then the fire is 10 meters, right? And then the air is 100 meters, right? And then the ether is 1 kilometer, right? So then the next one is 10 kilometers, next one is 100 kilometers, next one is 1,000 kilometers, right? That's where it finishes, the 8, like that. So 1,000 kilometers is from here to Sydney. So just this one little universe, if you want to get into the spiritual world, you have to go through all of that, right? And the final covering, right, which is the thickest covering, or the most sticky covering, or the hardest to get through, is the false ego. So you can't get into the spiritual world. It doesn't work like that. You can't just say, oh, there's Krishna, well, I'm just going to go there. There's a lot of work that has to be done. And when you become qualified, then you can get to Krishna, like that. So how do we become qualified? Right? So Virajan Prabhu was speaking to Puri Maharaj, and Puri Maharaj is saying to him, okay, you all want to go there. You all say gopis, 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 right? And you all want to go to the gopis. That's okay. But then if you want to go to the gopis, how do you get there, right? He said, first you have to understand what is love, right? Don't worry about even understanding what the gopis' love is, right? Because that's just something which is, you know, incredibly beyond us. It's so pure. It's so selfless, right? We can't, you know, it's very hard for us to come close to that, even understand it. So Puri Maharaj was saying that first understand what is love. And if you understand what is love, right? And what does love mean? Love means complete selflessness, right? And then Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, he mentions that the closest thing in this material world we see to pure love is the mother's love for the child. That is selfless, right? That is just, all you do is give and give and give. And when the child is just a baby, it's fully dependent, and you really don't get, the baby doesn't do anything back for you. Right, it reciprocates with its cute smiles and everything, right? While it's passing diarrhea on you. Right? But factually speaking, you don't actually get a lot back.
right? But you just give and give and give. So Prabhupada says that is pure love, right? And that is what we have to learn, right? You have to learn to love purely. It means you have to give purely without reciprocate, without expecting something back in return. So we have to learn to love Krishna like that, right? And when you learn to love Krishna purely, then you'll understand about the gopis' love. But if you're just trying to understand, oh, what the gopis are like, first develop within your personality, within your character, right, within your psychology, within your mind, within your subtle body, within your activities, within your service, develop that loving attitude, right? So first of all, it comes, the love has to be shown first of all to the spiritual master, right, to the guru, right? You have to have that selfless, loving service attitude to your spiritual master, right? That is the essence of spiritual life, factually speaking. And you'll see, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur had how many disciples? 60,000 disciples, right? And one of them, right, stood above all the others, factually speaking, right? He had many wonderful disciples. He has many wonderful disciples. Most of them have left this world now. And there are many, many wonderful disciples of Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, but one stood above all the others, right? So if you want to understand what is pure love to the guru, then you just examine Prabhupada's mood towards his guru Maharaj, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. That is pure love to the spiritual master, right? Prabhupada met Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur in 1922 in Calcutta, right? And Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, the first time he met Srila Prabhupada, he said to Srila Prabhupada, "You're a very intelligent young man. You should go and preach Gauranga's message in the Western countries in English." First thing he said to him, practically, right? So Srila Prabhupada kept that instruction in his heart, right, for until 1922 to 1965. That's 43 years. That's dedication to the order of the spiritual master. That is love for the guru. Mm-hmm. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur left this world in 1936, right? So 29 years later, Prabhupada went to America. That's his dedication he had to his spiritual master. That is the love he had for his spiritual master, right? So if we want to understand something about love, then you have to understand, right, serving the instructions of the spiritual master, right, without deviation. That is the proof of love, right? That is love, and that's how the disciple will show his love to the spiritual master. And when he shows that kind of love, he'll get so much reciprocation, right, from the guru. The guru is looking for that kind of attitude within the disciple. You know? I remember my spiritual master said one time, he said, when the disciple has that kind of attitude towards the guru, he said, what can the guru do? Right? Meaning that you've captured your guru's heart. What can your guru give you in return? Right? Because you've captured the guru's heart, you've given so much love to your spiritual master, then your spiritual master will give you anything. He'll give you everything. He'll give you Krishna. Right? So this is where love is first shown by the devotee. It has to be shown in their attitude of service to their spiritual master. Right? If devotees are prematurely trying to think, you know, Krishna and the gopis, I will try to understand Krishna and the gopis, I will meditate only on Krishna and the gopis, I'll try to become a gopi, like that, you won't become a gopi until you first become a perfect servant of your spiritual master. And when you become a perfect servant of the spiritual master, then you can begin to approach the gopi's mood. Right? So first we must become perfect servants of the guru. And then we have to become perfect servants of the Paramaguru. Right? Paramaguru means our grandfather guru, which for all of us means Srila Prabhupada. Right? Factually speaking, when you join ISKCON, first you become attached to the Param Guru. You become attached to Prabhupada. You chant his pranam mantra for at least 6 months before you're allowed to take shelter on someone else. And the whole purpose of that is because we have to become attached to the founder Acharya. Right? The founder Acharya's instructions are the essence of the institution of ISKCON, and they cannot be deviated from. Right? And that is the proof of love. Prabhupada said, the proof of how much you love me
is how much we'll cooperate together to push on this movement after I am gone. Right? So that is love. Love means that all of us have differences and all of us are very different in terms of our personalities, but we will cooperate together and put aside our own differences and our own false ego and so forth to cooperate together to push ISKCON on. Right? And that is the proof of our love for Prabhupada. Like that. So Prabhupada expected that kind of mood. Just like last night, I was speaking to one guest at the loft who's been coming along for a while, and he said to me something. He heard something about this Ritvik philosophy, which is, you know, has entered into ISKCON over time. And I was explaining to him that it's a deviant philosophy. It's not what Prabhupada taught us, like that. And then he was discussing it with him, and I said, "That's the point." I said, "The point at the end of the day is that you have to follow what Prabhupada said." Right? Don't say you love Prabhupada or Prabhupada is our guru. Prabhupada. No, don't say you love Prabhupada and Prabhupada is our guru if you're not following what Prabhupada said. Right? And he said that you take initiation from his disciples. That was his instruction. Right? So this is the proof of love. So you must become attached to your guru, you must become attached to the founder Acharya, and then you must develop love for the members of the disciplic succession, the Vaishnava Acharyas, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Then you must develop selfless love and service attitude towards them. If you develop selfless love and service attitude towards them, then they will introduce you to the Panchatattva. Right? And if you meet the Panchatattva, right, they will gradually pass you towards each other to Mahaprabhu himself. Right? There's one pastime, I think, at the end of the Narottam Vilas, and it's, I can't remember the name of the disciple. Do you remember the name? The disciple? They're telling this pastime in Govardhan last year. And he was, I think he was a follower of Ramachandra Kaviraj, I think, who was one of the associates of Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur sings Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Das, like that. So he was one of the great friends of Narottam Das Thakur. And he had one disciple, I think it was him. And this disciple was very deeply meditating, right? Deeply meditating so much in his Krishna, he was such an elevated, pure devotee, and he was meditating so deeply on the Panchatattva that he actually had darshan, right? They appeared before him, like that. And then Mahaprabhu said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, who is his guru, like that? So they started passing him around. Nityananda Prabhu grabbed him and started like passing him to each of the members. Like, is he, you know, does he belong to you? Does he belong to you? Does he belong to you? And everyone was saying, no, he's not our disciple. So then they started passing him down the disciplic succession, right? The six Goswamis of Vrindavan and, you know, Narottama, Srinivasa, like going around. Who does he belong to? And finally they came to Ramachandra Prabhu. I think it was, and they handed him to him, and they said, yes, he is my disciple. Right? So once they identified who he was and who he was related to, at that time, then he was allowed to go back up the disciplic succession. His spiritual master passed him to his spiritual master, and his spiritual master passed him to his guru, and his guru passed him to his guru, and then finally he got back to the six Goswamis, and the six Goswamis passed him to the Panchatattva. And he was passed, and then he came back to Nityananda Prabhu, right? And it's only by Nityananda, as Narottam Das Thakur says, it is only by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy that we get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in due course of time, you have to learn to develop your love for Nityananda Prabhu, and you have to beg his permission and his mercy to take to the service of Mahaprabhu. So then Nityananda Prabhu gave him to Mahaprabhu, right? And Mahaprabhu embraced him, right? And he put his head on his lotus feet. And then Mahaprabhu revealed to him his identity as Radha and Krishna, right? So this is the point. The point is, this is how to get to Radha and Krishna. This is how to understand the prema of the love of the gopis in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can't understand it by going direct, right? It's a long process to get there, and it requires getting the blessings and the mercy of many, many personalities along the way. So you have to develop a loving, perfect service attitude to your spiritual master, to the other Vaishnavas, right? Just like one time one devotee was saying to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I can surrender to you, I can cooperate with you, but I can't follow your disciples. Because when Prabhupada was president, he had temple presidents and he had GBC and like that. So he'd already set up the movement to some degree when he was on the planet. So So there were already authorities within the movement. You know, some Prabhupada disciples were temple presidents and GBCs and sannyasis. So one devotee said, Prabhupada, I can surrender to you, I can cooperate with you, I can serve you, but I can't serve them. Right? And Srila Prabhupada said, if you love me, then love my dog. If you can cooperate with me, then you can cooperate with my representatives also. Right? So it means there must be a mood of cooperation. Right? And not only cooperation, but Prabhupada actually expected love and trust amongst the devotees. That's what he expected. Right? And just like if you go to the Chaupati temple in Mumbai, you'll see there's a very strong mood of love and trust amongst the Vaishnavas. Right? Because that is considered by many devotees to be our best temple in ISKCON. Right? So you see there, the mood of love and trust is very developed. Like that. And this mood is also very prevalent in this temple. This temple's, in my opinion, is one of the 10 best temples in ISKCON. Right? It's a very outstanding temple in many respects. And the devotees here do have a very loving mood towards each other. Like that. So that has to be there. There has to be that mood towards the guru, towards the other Vaishnavas. Right? And then gradually, you'll go through the disciplic succession. You'll come to the Panchatattva. Right? And without Mahaprabhu's mercy, or without getting the mercy of Mayapur done, you cannot get the mercy of Vrindavan done. Without getting the mercy of Gaunitai, you can't get the mercy of Radhakrishna in this age of Kali. We don't have a qualification. So therefore, what is being presented in Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of the most perfect love of Krishna, in terms of the prayojana, or the prema of the gopis, this has to be understood and approached in the proper way. You can't try to understand and approach this in a very direct way. Right? It must be approached very carefully. As Bhakti Charuswami said one time, he said, when you read the 10th canto, you must fold your hands and be kneeling on your knees, right, with great awe and reverence, great respect, right, when you're reading the 10th canto. Like that, because it is the most exalted subject matter. Right? And if you just take it, oh, whimsically and like that, you won't understand it. It has to be approached with the greatest respect and reverence and purity. It is pristine, it is pure. And if you want to understand anything about the gopis' love, then you have to become pure in your own heart. Right? And Krishna reveals to you over time, if you seriously want to understand these things, if you're serious as a devotee to make advancement, Krishna will reveal to you what your anattas are, or what the things are that are holding you back. And when he reveals those things, then that's when the hard work begins. Right? Then you have to overcome those obstacles. Like that. And it's not easy, but you know, the day we walked in here, we thought it was going to be all blissful, and as Burujan Prabhu said, we just thought it was going to be all flowers and gulabs, and you know, we're just going to walk in here and everyone's just going to be like that. No, there's a lot of hard work involved, but if we stick at it, we will get something far beyond our imagination at the end, right? Something beyond what we could expect at the end if we just stick to it, just like we saw in the pastimes of Bhakti Tirtha Swami recently, right? He was saying at the very end, in his final pastimes, he was saying, I have received an invitation, right, from the spiritual world. Right? He got an invitation to come to the spiritual world. He says, I do not feel I am qualified for it, but I've received the invitation. And why did he get the invitation? Right? Why was he invited by Krishna to come back into the spiritual world? Because his devotional service was pure. Right? Because he learned how to love purely. And if we learn how to love purely, then you'll get Krishna automatically. You don't have to worry, you know, and think, oh, you know, I have to jump ahead of myself very quickly. You just learn to love purely and serve the Vaishnavas and the Guru purely, and then automatically Krishna will bless. Okay. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yeah, it was big, because I think the Bhagavatam says, I can't remember how big, but I think it's something like 311 billion yojanas or miles or something wide, the universe. Something like the figures given in the Bhagavatam. So I mean, the universe is like, you know, it's
so
massive.
So each little system has its own layers, doesn't
No, the universe has its light. There's one unit, like we're in the universe. There's 14 planetary systems, and we're in the middle planetary system, right? And the universe is shaped like a, kind of like an oval shape. And there's one sun in the universe, although the scientists say there's many suns, but there's one sun. And we're in a big universe, something like 311 million miles wide or something. And then multiply that by 10, by 10, by 10, by 10. So I don't know what the final figure is, but
so that encompasses all the universes.
No, that's just this universe.
Just this universe.
This universe, and then there's the covering, and then that whole big, huge covering, whatever that is, you know, 311 trillion billion bazillion.
That's just our universe.
That's just our universe. That's like the covering, and that's just coming out of the pore of Mahavishnu, with all the other universes. Yeah. So it kind of makes you feel pretty small. Yeah, we get pretty full of ourselves. We think, oh, you know, I'm big. You know, I'm a big time devotee now, like that. But then, if you look in the scope of, like, you know, we're just coming out of Mahavishnu's pore, like that. This universe. And what are we in comparison to the universe? So the reason we should meditate on this is to understand our insignificance as a devotee. Any other questions or comments? Prabhupada was giving one class, and I think at the end of the class Prabhupada said something like 75%. 75% of that. So Tamal Krishnamaraj was speaking to Prabhupada one time in Bombay, and Tamal Krishnamaraj was complaining and saying, oh, Prabhupada, you know, we have to, because they're going to court every day to fight for the Bombay land, and, you know, it was a big, big headache. You know, Tamal Krishnamaraj was a sannyasi, and Giriraj Maharaj was a brahmachari at the time. And, you know, sannyasis and brahmacharis had to spend from 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock at night every day in a lawyer's office for weeks on end, trying to fight, you know, this court case, because Mr. N was trying to steal the land. So it was very difficult, you know. And then they felt it was very austere and very difficult. No devotee likes to do a service like that, but they had to do it. And Tamal Krishnamaraj said to Prabhupada, he said, I can quote all the bylaws of the municipality of Bombay, but I can't quote any slokas from the Bhagavad Gita. And he was complaining to Prabhupada, he was saying it was so difficult and everything, and then Prabhupada just cut him. And Prabhupada said, for so many lifetimes you've served so many masters. He said, for this one lifetime you just served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at any life, whatever you are lacking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will cover in your teeth. Like that. So Tamal Krishnamaraj used to tell that story all the time. So it means, what it means is you have to give one life, like Tamal Krishnamaraj did. If you saw the way he served Prabhupada and Krishna, like, he gave everything. He, look at the way Bhakti Kita Swami served Prabhupada and Krishna. One life, giving everything. You look at the way Jagataka Swami serves. You know, Krishna and Prabhupada gives everything. Right? Devamrita Swami, Prahladananda Swami, Prabhavishnu Swami. You look at all of them, all the gurus, Kridananda Maharaj, everyone. So that's the point. The point is we have to follow our gurus. That's why we have gurus. You know, we don't have to do, you know, we don't have to be gurus. You know, we can see Bhavishas and Haris, Crossways, Manavas, we can be whatever we are. But we give everything. And then at the end of our life, if there's anything lacking, like Mahaprabhu can just go. Take a moment. Any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.